Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God. Well, welcome and thanks for connecting to the online campus of Hurricane Community Church in this incredibly wonderful Christmas season. A level playing field is used as a term to describe that every team and every player should abide by the same rules. When my son's soccer team goes out onto the field, there are 11 players on each team. When my daughter's volleyball team takes the court, there are 6 players on each team. Same rules apply to both teams. After the games begin, it doesn't take long until one side, or sometimes both sides of the fan section, start questioning the fairness of the rules and the fairness of the game, specifically in relationship to the officials. And typically, one of the greatest cries of the fan section is, hey, if you're going to call it both ways. You have to keep it fair. Well, why do we do this? We do this because we believe that the playing field should be level, that the same rules should apply to everyone on the field. And not to mention the fact that we simply want our kids to win. Well, if we shift gears away from the athletic field to rules in general in life, we, most people, believe that there are a set of rules that apply to all people in all places in all times. That there, regardless of time frame and history, regardless of culture, that there are rules that apply to everyone. That the playing field of life in relationship to these things is a level playing field. Rules are sometimes described as oughts and ought nots. There are oughts that we believe everybody ought to do. And there are ought-nots that we believe everybody ought not to do. But there's an interesting thing that happens with these oughts and ought-nots. There are oughts that we hold ourselves to that we don't hold others to. And there are ought-nots that we hold others to that we don't hold ourselves to. When it comes to the level playing field of rules in life, there are times where we hold ourselves to a standard that we don't hold others to. And there are times where we hold others to a standard that we sometimes don't hold ourselves to. This tendency to not live life according to a level playing field is one of the reasons why the birth of Jesus is such good news. From day one, the birth of Jesus was announced as good news of great joy to all people. And one of the reasons is because the birth of Jesus levels the playing field, not just in life, but specifically in relationship with God. But the culture into which Jesus was born and the announcement of his birth was made was a culture that was so divided that the idea of good news of great joy for all people was difficult to grasp. The Roman Empire and the Jewish culture would have both been threatened by the announcement of good news of great joy for all people. Typically, what was good news for the Roman Empire meant bad news for the Jewish people. And what was announced as good news for the Jewish people was typically bad news for the Roman Empire. But when the birth of Jesus was announced, it was great news, good news of great joy for all people. And the people of that day had a difficult time understanding that. there's a story about the birth of Jesus in one of his early followers, a guy by the name of Matthew, his account of Jesus' life, in which we discover that not everyone was thrilled about the news of the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Some wise men from the east had shown up in the town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And they wanted to discover the specific location. And so they sought out King Herod to ask where this child had been born. And this is the reaction of King Herod to the news that a newborn king of the Jews had been born. It says, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. The announcement of a newborn king of the Jews, which is what the wise men communicated, would have been disconcerting or deeply troubling news to the current king of the Jews, which in this case was Herod. Herod is an incredibly interesting figure historically, but he's also an example of how people who approach the rules of life based on privilege and position and status don't like it when the playing field gets leveled. Herod, his father, had aligned himself with the rule of with the rule of Julius Caesar, and had been appointed governor over Judea. All of his sons, including Herod, had been given positions in the Roman government. After about a decade of civil unrest, Herod is appointed to be the new king over the province or the region of Judea. Herod became known as Herod the Great because he established himself as successful in wars, in building and ornamenting great cities, the city that he ruled. And he also rebuilt the temple, even though he had more loyalty to Rome than he had to the Jewish people. Herod, as a ruler, was incredibly brutal. He would persecute and execute any of his enemies, including several of his own sons, when he believed they posed a threat to his throne. So Herod is deeply disturbed at the announcement from the wise men that in the town of Bethlehem a newborn king of the Jews had been born. And Matthew tells us that not only was Herod disturbed, but everyone in Jerusalem was disturbed, because under Herod and under the Roman Empire, the culture at the time was experiencing a great deal of peace. And the announcement of a newborn king of the Jews would have the potential to disrupt that peace in the form of some kind of revolution. And so this announcement that there was a new king was deeply troubling, not just to Herod, but everyone in the region. And so Herod, based on this information, begins to take steps to make sure that he keeps the playing field unlevel to his advantage. And here's what Matthew records happening next. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? He had a general idea from the wise men, but he goes to the religious leaders and he asks them clearly, specifically, where is this baby to be born? And it's then that he learns in the town of Bethlehem. Apparently, Herod was surrounded by other people who weren't necessarily thrilled about the birth of Jesus, including the Jewish religious leaders, who, by their belief system, should have been thrilled, should have received the news as good news, but didn't. The Jewish people had long awaited the arrival of someone they referred to as the Messiah, one that they believed that would be sent by God to redeem and restore Israel. But when the birth of Jesus was announced, it simply didn't fit into their belief system. And so they partnered with Herod to find out where this baby had been born. And Herod learns from them that it is indeed the town of Bethlehem. And after learning the location of the birth of the baby, Herod then takes the next step, which we also see recorded in Matthew's account of the story of the first Christmas. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star appeared. So Herod calls the wise men together, and he learns about the time that this baby would have been born. And after that, he dispatches the wise men to go and search for this baby. He wants them to search diligently for the baby, and when they find him, Herod wants them to return to him and tell him where this baby is born, under the belief that he wants to go and pay homage to the baby as well. But Herod is not as ready to accept the announcement of the birth of this baby as it appears he is on the surface. Instead, what Herod wants to do is he wants to know where this baby has been born and what time frame this baby has been born in, so that, consistent with his approach to any other threat to his throne, this specific baby could be eliminated. So the wise men leave, charged with finding the baby, knowing that it's in the town of Bethlehem, and then returning to Herod with the news of where and when this baby had been born. However, as they approach where they believe the baby to be born, this is what Matthew tells us. It says, when they saw the star, so they had traveled based on following a star that they had seen from the east, and the star leads them to the place where the baby has been born. And it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. When the wise men arrive at a small stable in a little town called Bethlehem, they discover Jesus. And when they discover Jesus, they come to an understanding that what they had heard about this newborn king of the Jews was true. That indeed, a baby had been born, just as the star had led them. And not only had they discovered that the story was true, but there was something about the birth of this baby that was so good that they were filled with joy. And then the time came for them to return home and to go by way of Jerusalem to tell Herod where this baby had been born. But knowing Herod's ill intentions, God had another plan. And it says, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. There are a couple of pieces of this part of the story that are just heartbreaking to me. The wise men had discovered the birth of Jesus, and they were so overwhelmed with joy that they wanted to return and tell Herod the news of this baby's birth. If they took Herod at his word, there would be no reason for them to not want to tell him, because Herod told him he wanted to go and pay homage, to worship this newborn king of the Jews as well. But they had been warned to go by another route. And I wonder how they felt about the warning. I wonder how they felt about the opportunity to tell what I think they wanted to tell being taken away from them. And I wonder, as they traveled the other route, what they talked about. And I wonder how they felt
And I wonder if those people that they encountered along the way, because this was such news of great joy, and they were so filled with joy at the encounter they had with Jesus, I wonder if they told everybody along the way. And when they got home, I wonder if they told everyone who would listen about this baby Jesus they experienced, who they believed to be the newborn King of the Jews. And it's kind of heartbreaking to me to know that they had this good news of great joy for all people, and they weren't able to share it with Herod because Herod, and this is another part of the story that's so heartbreaking, Herod missed the opportunity to encounter Jesus because he was so focused on his own unlevel playing field. He was so disturbed by what he perceived as a threat to his throne that he was unwilling to consider the birth of this baby being good news of great joy to all people. Well, based on being upset about this news and the fact that the wise men had not returned, Matthew continues the story about what Herod does. It says, Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. Herod may not have known why, but he did know that the wise men had returned home by another route. Jerusalem, the path through Jerusalem, was the best way for them to go. But when they didn't show up, obviously he knew that they had gone a different way. And I love the word in this translation, outwitted. And I love that word because it just goes to show us that oftentimes people who play by a different set of rules, people who play on an unlevel playing field, they really don't like it when the rules they play by don't work out to their advantage. And I love the fact that behind the scenes in this story, that God is at work outwitting people who play by an unlevel playing field. So Herod then takes a next step in eliminating the threat, or trying to eliminate the threat of this baby. It says, he sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's reports of the star's first appearance. Now, this seems almost incomprehensible to us. The fact that someone would dispatch soldiers to kill all the newborn male children under the age of 2 in an area. But this was exactly the kind of thing that Herod would do. I mean, remember, he was willing to put his own sons to death when he believed they were a threat. So a group of Jewish children in and around a town like Bethlehem would be of no regard and no consideration to Herod whatsoever. And Herod's plan would have been successful had Jesus still been in Bethlehem, but he wasn't. Having been warned in a dream, Jesus' family packed up and went to Egypt, where they would stay until after Herod's death. You see, even the ill intentions of an individual like Herod couldn't eradicate or eliminate the good news of the story of the first Christmas. The good news of the story of the first Christmas is that sometimes people like you and people like me, we aren't always that good at being good. Sometimes we do things that we ought not to, and sometimes we don't do things that we ought to. And sometimes we just simply mess it up. And there are times where we actually mess it up on purpose. Yeah, we may try to minimize it or cover it up by calling it a mistake. But in reality, what it is it's just sin. And sin damages and breaks relationship between us and God. But the good news of the story of the first Christmas is that in the birth of Jesus, the playing field between humankind and God in relationship to our sin is leveled. Position doesn't matter. Status doesn't matter. What you have or how much you have doesn't matter. What you've done or haven't done doesn't matter. What matters is that in the birth of Jesus, God demonstrated His great love for us, even when we aren't so good, to redeem sin and to restore relationship with Him. When the birth of Jesus was announced, it was not received as good news by everyone. It was not received by good news as the Jewish religious leaders, who were simply probably more afraid of how their status and position in relationship to Herod would be impacted than they were their status and relationship with God being impacted. And as a result of the belief system that they held, they missed an opportunity to experience the joy that the wise men experienced in relationship to the birth of Jesus. The news of Jesus' birth was not received as good news by Herod, because Herod was so focused on an unlevel playing field that served his purpose, that served his position, and served his status, that he missed out on the birth of Jesus. From the beginning, from the outset, the birth of Jesus was announced as good news of great joy to all people, including people like me and people like you. So in this Christmas season, let's not miss the opportunity to embrace the good news of great joy for all people that is found in the birth of Jesus. Let me pray for you as we close this time together. Dear God, thank you for this incredible story of good news of great joy for all people. Thank you that through the story of a guy like Herod, we can learn about the dynamics of an unlevel playing field and how the birth of Jesus levels the playing field in relationship to our sin and relationship with you. That Jesus came, that Jesus was born to come and do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And in this Christmas season, may we come to more fully understand and more fully embrace that good news of great joy for me. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you again for connecting with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We hope that this time together has helped you take a step in relationship with God and maybe a step closer towards considering following Jesus. We hope you'll connect with us again the next time for part 3 of Christmas, It's All Good.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.